I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And welcome back those who have traveled. May the Lord continue to be with you. And I'm sure you are very, very thankful that the Lord has preserved you in your going out and your coming in. And so good to be in the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad you are here? Yes. All right. We should always be very, very glad that we are able to come into the house of the Lord, because the Lord has given us this wonderful privilege to come here to acknowledge Him as our God publicly and collectively, so that all people who pass by this church may know that our Savior is indeed a living Savior. We have a risen Savior. So it's very, very good that we have this opportunity to come here to worship Him and to witness to the truth that He is alive. Now the subject this morning is painful separation and joyful reunion. And the text that I'm focusing on is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 to verse 20. We have been studying the book of 1 Thessalonians. I trust that you have found it very, very instructive, very, very edifying in the study of this wonderful book. Now, years ago, I knew of a case of a young mother who had to have his mother-in-law look after her child, her newborn child, because she had to work. Now, over time, this mother-in-law, who loved the grandchild very, very much, develop a very possessive spirit over this grandchild, so much so that she wanted the child to be her very own, as it were, and she was depriving the mother of taking care of this child. Now, because of this deprivation, this young mother felt that this child of hers was being forcibly taken away from her. And so the tussle between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law in time became very, very unbearable for the young mother, particularly because the husband of this young lady was not taking her side, but taking the side of mother-in-law, taking the side of his mother. So what happened was, finally, this young mother gave up the fight for the child. She felt so very, very deprived, so depressed, yes, deprived of mothering her child. She could not take it, and finally what she did was she packed up, left home, left the country, went overseas to continue with her studies, so that she could be distracted from the pain that she was having, the pain of feeling that the child was separated from her. Now, thankfully, over time, all parties came to their senses, and the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, the husband of this young lady all came to their senses. They all realized that the right of this mother to look after the child must be respected. And once everybody understood that this must be the case, then there was peace in the home. Now, my point is this. It was really very, very painful for the young mother to feel that her child was taken away from her, that she had to be separated from the child. Now, it wasn't that the child was completely taken away from her. It was just that she felt that she didn't have the complete freedom to look after the child. And already that was very, very painful to her. Now, can you imagine if it was a situation in which the mother and the child were completely separated? I can tell you, that kind of separation would be very, very, very painful indeed. Now, this morning I want to talk about the pain of separation first of all. I want to talk about, first of all, painful separation. And here in this account given to us in 1 Thessalonians, we have Paul, Silas, and Timothy being literally, forcibly taken away from the folks at Thessalonica who had come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy had a very, very special relationship with these Thessalonians. They saw themselves as what? Spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Remember that? We were talking about that some time ago. And I refer you to these verses. All right? You see, they brought the gospel to the folks at Thessalonica. And in a very, very short time, these people came to believe in the Lord. And then Paul, Silas, and Timothy felt great love for these folks. They felt that they were their spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. So first look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I'll read for you these two verses. Paul says, as you know, talking to the folks at Thessalonica who had come to believe through their ministry, as you know how we exalted and comforted and charged every one of you, what? As a father does his children. So Paul and company saw themselves as spiritual fathers to the folks who were at Thessalonica. And that was the kind of bond that they had between them. Now then, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you as a nurse cherishes her children. In other words, Paul, Silas, and Timothy saw themselves as spiritual mothers to the folks at Thessalonica. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. In other words, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were saying this: we love you so dearly. We think of ourselves as spiritual mothers to you. We were willing to share the gospel with you. And not only that, we are even willing to give our lives for you. That was what they were saying. That was what Paul was saying. Then the unbelieving Jews, because they were very, very jealous of the success of the ministry of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, then instigated the non-believing Gentile Thessalonians to persecute Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Remember the great riot and the great mob they created in the city of Thessalonica, as a result of which Paul, Silas, and Timothy had no choice but had to leave the city of Thessalonica. As it were, they were forcibly taken away from the folks at Thessalonica. Now that kind of separation must have been very painful for Paul, Silas, and Timothy, who loved those folks very, very dearly, to the extent that they said, we are willing even to give our lives for you. So, while Paul and company were away from the Thessalonians, they naturally felt very, very concerned about the spiritual well-being of the folks at Thessalonica. They were very concerned that their labor might be in vain. You see, they had worked very hard to bring the gospel to them, risk their lives. Would our labor in your midst be in vain? So they were very, very concerned that that might be the case. Then, don't forget, there could have been false teachers also. And these false teachers could have gone around spreading bad words about Paul, Silas, and Timothy, charging them to be what? A false, itinerant preachers, charlatans, who were only interested in the money of the people, perhaps. Now, if these people were very, very successful in deceiving the Thessalonians, to whom Paul had brought the gospel, then what would have happened to the message that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had brought to the Thessalonians? People will not believe in that message. You see, if the preachers had lost their credibility, then the message would lose its power. So Paul was very, very concerned. And then, don't forget, the folks, after having received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, after having received the word, were persecuted. Now the persecution, as we know from our previous messages, was very, very severe. Very severe. And the folks at Thessalonica might just capitulate because of the persecution. And so because of these great concerns for their spiritual children, Paul wrote in verse 17, he said this: we endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. You know what that means? It means Paul said, I'm very, very desirous to see your face. And this desire that he had was very, very overpowering. Yes, I have this overpowering desire to see you. Now, although Paul, Silas, and Timothy were physically separated from their spiritual children, yes, physically separated from them, but Paul, Silas, and Timothy tried hard to be spiritually connected to them. So they didn't forget them. They thought of them, and of course they prayed for them. And so we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. See, Paul wanted to maintain this spiritual connection with them. So he says, we give thanks to God always. 1 Thessalonians 1:2-3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So he tried to maintain this spiritual connection. Now I ask you this question this morning. How do you feel when you are separated from this church? Paul, when he was separated from that church, felt very painful. Now I ask you this question. How do you feel when you are separated from this church? Let's say because of your work, because of your studies, you have to relocate. So you have to be separated from this church. But how do you feel when you are separated from the members here? Now, personally, when my wife and I are away from you, we feel that we cannot be away from you for too long a time. And we think of you folks, and we remember you before the throne of grace when we are away. Now, we are very concerned when we are away. Yes, maybe a little bit of that Pauline spirit, you might say. We are very concerned that there might be spiritual disquiet in this church when we are away. And you know, the greatest concern is a concern that bothers me always. The greatest concern is that some false teachers and some false teachings may creep into the church. Now, it is not that I feel that you must totally depend on me so that you will be strong, and that without me you are surely going to fall away. It's not that kind of thinking. But no, friends, because our dependence must be on the Lord and on Him and on His Word alone. Our security is in Him. But friends, let us never forget that we are in a spiritual warfare, and our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, always walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he will go about looking for weaknesses in the church, and if he sees one, surely he's going to capitalize on it. So if he sees that the weakness is the absence of the preacher here, he might just capitalize on it. So let's always remember this truth. We are in a spiritual warfare, and the Lord has placed on my heart this responsibility to take care of this little flock here. That is why I always feel that I cannot be away from this congregation for too long a period. And my responsibility is to do my very best to warn against untruths and to teach the truth so that this congregation will be strong and not fall away. And we must take heed when other servants of the Lord give us warning. Lovingly, this dear brother Mike Copland, a very seasoned soldier of the Lord, one time gave me this warning very lovingly. He said to me, "Brother, watch out against unbelief and against false teachers. Watch against the charismatics. This he told me, they will try to come into the church when your church is ripe for being taken over. And I said, when will the church be ripe for taking over? He said, when your congregation size is about 100. Now we are almost there, you know that? Yes, so remember this truth. So we ought to be very, very vigilant. But you might say to me, come on, elder, don't worry. We won't fail. We all won't become charismatics. Now, I'm very, very concerned if you say that. Don't worry, we won't become charismatic. One time, one young man went from our church in Singapore overseas for holiday. And then when he was overseas, he decided to go to a mega charismatic church. So he went to this church. After listening to that message that morning, he came up from the meeting and he said, "Actually, the message is quite good." Now, I would have thought that this brother, this young man, having been taught the truth, having been grounded in the truth, would be far more discerning than that. There was a possibility that he was not that discerning, in spite of the strong teaching, in spite of the strong foundation that he was given. Was there not the possibility that he might fall away? if he continued to attend that church? I said, yes, great possibility. And now you might say to me, oh, don't worry, you know, we won't fall. You can be away for as long as you want to, we won't fall. And we will be able to identify a wolf when we see one. But friends, a captivating preacher may come into our midst and comes and preaches here. And he really is a wolf in sheep's clothing. But you might not be able to identify him as a wolf. You know why? Because he's so captivating, so impressive. You will be so impressed by his words. And in next to no time, you are going to be drawn away. So, instead of your being confident, I would rather that you be wary. And remember what the great apostle Paul says in the word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 to 15. I'd like us to turn to these few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 and 15 to 15. Yes, I'd rather that you be wary than be confident. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 to verse 15. Okay, I read for you these three verses. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, talking about false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, not surprising at all, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan surely has that capability of being transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his servants or his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, not surprising at all if the servants of Satan can be turned into the servants of righteousness and come into our midst to deceive us. Yes, not surprising at all. Yes, Satan is well capable of doing a thing like that. So what is our best defense? What do you think is our best defense? Our defense is, of course, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something which we learned some months ago when we studied the second book of Peter. Yes, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here at the worship service, we teach the truth. We teach the word. It's vital that we know the word. It's vital that we know the truth. Some things are not nice to hear. You don't like to hear them, but we still have to talk about those things because they are the truth. We must know the truth. And then we have the basic Bible knowledge class in which we teach God's word. And then we have our Bible studies. We have got several Bible studies going on in this church. Participate in these Bible studies, friends. Participate in the basic Bible knowledge class. Know the Word of God. Know it so well, so that you will not be swayed by every wind or every doctrine. Whether the preacher is around or the preacher is not around, it's not going to make any difference. You're not going to be swayed. I pray that all the congregation members here will be in this kind of a position. Now, how do you feel? I ask you now, how do you feel when you are separated from this church? As I said, because you have been relocated, or because of work, or because of studies. I sincerely hope that you will feel the pain of the separation. I hope that you feel that you miss the spiritual food here. I hope that you feel the pain of missing the good fellowship here. And I pray that you miss opportunities to serve here. Now, I pray that that will be the case with you when you are separated from this church. Now, I know of people who talk very, very fondly about the churches that they came from. The churches that they came from are good churches. The churches teach the truth, and they had great opportunities to serve in the church. They had experienced good fellowship in the church. And then when they are here, they feel the pain of being separated from their previous church. Now, is that a good feeling to have? Yes, of course, that's a good feeling to have, because that church had been a good church. Yes, now friends, if you are separated in this church because of your job requirement or because of your studies, my dear friends, I trust that you will think fondly of this church and speak fondly of this church, and that you will feel the pain of this church, feel the pain of being separated from this church. But don't just talk about the fondness of being in this church. Don't just talk about it. But rather that when you are separated from this church, that you will straight away go all out to seek out a good church to worship in. A church that is Bible-centered, about a church that is Bible-believing, a church that teaches the truth, the church that provides you with good fellowship, and the church that provides you with good opportunities to serve. I trust you will do that. Or are you one who is very, very glad to be separated from this church? You don't like to be here. There is no pain at all for you to be separated from this church. In fact, you are very, very glad to be separated from this church. Yet you say, this church is just too narrow for my liking. Too narrow-minded. This church is so behind time. Old-fashioned. Unrealistic. Yes. I went to this church because I had to. I was expected to. My wife, my husband, my children, my parents expected me to be there, and so I was there. I really didn't want to have anything to do with that church, Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. But now I'm separated from this church. I'm very, very glad because I have newfound freedom. I prefer to go to a church which does not talk about the blood of Christ, a church that does not talk about sin, a church that does not talk about repentance from sin, a church that does not talk about the second coming of Christ, the church that hardly ever refers to the Word of God. That's the kind of church I like to go to. Now, dear friends, if you feel this way about this particular church here and want to separate from this church, you don't want to be here any longer, I urge you to do this. Examine yourself. Ask yourself this question. Why do you want to leave this church? Why are you opposed to the teaching on sin? Why are you opposed to the teaching on repentance? Why are you opposed to the teaching on the blood of Christ? Why are you so opposed to the idea of referring to the Word of God frequently? Why are you opposed to expository preaching from the Word of God? Why are you opposed to all these things? I'm afraid, my dear friends, that the real issue is not about being separated from this local church, Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. I'm afraid that the real issue is that you are really separated from the church universal, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you're separated from Him. You do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not part of the church universal. That is why you have no interest at all to remain in a church that is Bible-centered, a church that is Bible-believing. And so you want to be separated from this church. You are still living in your sin. You know the Lord says this in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. Please turn with me to these two verses. John 3, 19 and 20. John 3, 19 and 20. The Lord says this, and this is the condemnation, the Lord says, the light is coming into the world. In other words, He's talking about Himself. Light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. My dear friends, this church focuses on the light. This church focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. It focuses on the Word of God. Now, if you love darkness rather than light, because your deeds are evil, then naturally you will want to shun the light. Because this church focuses on the light, naturally you want to shun this church, because this church focuses on the light. And you rather go to a church that does not focus on the light and does not focus on His Word. You hate the light. You prefer to go to one that does not have the focus on the light. And if you are separated from the one true living God, which is manifested perhaps by your desire to separate from a Bible-believing church, that kind of separation, my dear friends, is most painful. separated from the one true living God. That kind of separation is most painful. And if you are unrepentant, your separation from God will be for not only for time, but your separation from God will be for eternity. And you are going to spend eternity separated from Him in hell. How sad and how painful that would be. Now, I was very gladdened by the testimony given by Dr. Raymond Sachs about this young man in his church. Now, this young man in his church couldn't stand the preaching of Dr. Raymond Sachs, which is the good old-fashioned preaching of the good old gospel. So this young man could not stand it. One day, he told Dr. Raymond Sachs, "I don't want to be in your church anymore. I'm going to leave this church." And so he left the church. Now, I do not know for how long he was away, maybe months, maybe years, but sometime later he came back. Yes, after wandering in the wilderness and after going through so many churches, experiencing going to various kinds of churches, he decided to come back to Dr. Raymond Sachs' church because he realized that that was a good church. It was a church that was preaching the truth, preaching the good old-fashioned gospel. And he realized that what Dr. Raymond Sachs doing was right. And he very gladly came back to the church. I trust that none of us here are thinking of separating from this church. Now, if this church turns liberal, and if the gospel that is preached from this pulpit is watered down, by all means, leave this church. I encourage you to leave, and I encourage you to go find a Bible-believing church to worship in. But if this church continues to preach the truth, if it continues to uphold the truth of the Word of God, then I will encourage you to stay. Continue to fellowship with the saints here. Don't be like the young man in Dr. Raymond Sachs' church who wasted so many months and so many years looking for a church to worship in, but finally he had to come back to Dr. Raymond Sachs' church because he realized that it was a good church. So I would encourage you to stay, my dear friends, unless this church is not preaching the truth. Stay, and then consider one another. In other words, have a high regard for one another. Have a kind regard for one another, and provoke one another unto love and unto good works as we all wait together and watch together for the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, separation often is very painful. Now, when Adam and Eve separated from the one true living God, after they disobeyed the Lord in the Garden of Eden, did they feel painful in regards to the separation? Did they? Surely they did. When they realized that they had lost this wonderful fellowship with the one true living God. When they realized that they had lost the peace and the happiness of paradise in the Garden of Eden. And when they realized that now their lot was eternal punishment in hell. But we always think of Adam and Eve. But what about the Lord? Did the Lord feel painful that these two creatures of His created in His image were now separated from Him because of their disobedience to Him? Did He feel painful? My dear friends, He did. It was painful for Him. So when Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves, the Lord said this to Adam. He said, "Adam, where art thou?" Remember those words? "Adam, where art thou?" Now, it was not a shout of condemnation. It was not a shout of anger when the Lord said, "Where art thou?" It was actually a voice of grief coming out from the heart of the Lord because He had lost two precious souls. Now, can you imagine? I'd like us to imagine for a moment a couple who lost their son, let's say, in the recent Air France Airbus 330 crash in the Atlantic. That was the only son, and they lost their son in that crash. Then the rescuers and salvage teams tried to recover the bodies from the wreckage. They went around searching for bodies, found some bodies, but they could not find the body of the son of this couple. And so this couple took a boat and went out into the open ocean, and then to try to follow the progress of the rescuers. And when they look over the ocean, their hearts must have cried out, "My son, where are you? Where's your body, my son? Where's your body?" Surely it was great grief that they were expressing. But friends, that kind of grief is nothing. Nothing compared to the perfect grief that our perfect God experienced when Adam and Eve separated from Him. Now, because of our sinful nature, which we have inherited from Adam, we are spiritually dead. Because of our sinful nature, we are spiritually dead, separated from the one true living God. And we surely have grieved Him. But God loved us so much. He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He does not want us to be separated from Him. And we need not be separated from Him. If today we will come to the foot of the cross, repent from our sins, and ask the Lord to cleanse us of all our sins by His precious blood. My dear friends, if we are willing to repent, willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will be reconciled to Him. And that is exactly what our Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be reconciled to Him. He does not want us to be separated from Him. Now let's look at the cause of the separation of Paul, Silas, and Timothy from the church at Thessalonica. We're talking about the cause now. First we talk about painful separation. Now let's talk about the cause of the separation of Paul, Silas, and Timothy from the church at Thessalonica. Now, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, as we said, were, as it were, forcibly taken away from the folks at Thessalonica. Now let us never forget this truth. I must remind all of us all the time that we are in a spiritual warfare. Paul says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." We must never ever forget that we are constantly in a spiritual warfare. Now it is true, it was the Jews, it was the non-believing Thessalonians who persecuted Paul, Silas, and Timothy. True, but friends, in reality, they were also agents. Agents of Satan. Satan was not pleased that the work of the gospel was prospering in Thessalonica. And so he tried to stop the work. And the only way for him to stop the work was for him to get rid of Paul, Silas, and Timothy from Thessalonica. And then when they wanted to come back, what would he do? He would of course try to stop them from coming back. And so Paul says this in verse 18. Alright, chapter 2, verse 18. He says this, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again." Paul says, "I tried to come back once and again." Yes, but what happened? Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. So the cause of separation was the evil one, Satan. Now I knew of one instance in which Satan was hard at work in hindering the work of the gospel. A minister was very much engaged in the work of foreign missions, which took him away from his home church over extended periods of time. And this missions work really needed his attention, because people in those churches in the missions field needed to be strengthened, needed to be encouraged. But because he spent so much time away from his home church, what happened was strifes were being generated in his home church. What happened in the home church was that a mutiny was in the process of being organized. For what purpose? To get rid of this pastor who was away ministering in the missions field. So he had no choice but to return and stay home to minister in his home church to try to resolve the problems in this church. So what was the result? The net result was, of course, his work in the missions field was hindered. He could not minister to the churches in the missions field. In other words, he was being cut off, separated from the churches in the missions field. So what was the hindrance, my dear friends? The hindrance was, of course, Satan. He was the one who caused the members in the church to generate the strifes to try to get rid of this pastor. Friends, let us always be very, very aware of the tactic of the evil one. let us never fall into his trap. And therefore, it is your responsibility and my responsibility to try very hard always to keep the peace of the church. Very, very important. The moment there is strife in the church, I can tell you this, the work of the gospel will be hindered. True. I've seen that in so many churches. So it is very, very important that you feel responsible, I feel responsible, that we must try to keep the peace of the church. And let us do our very, very best. When servants of the Lord are going all out to serve the Lord, that we give them 100% support. And how do we support them? Encourage them. Pray for them. Give them that kind of support. And let us never be used by Satan to create strifes in the church, which, as we said, might result in the work of the gospel being hindered. So remember this, friends. All right, I hope you would not just listen and let the word go in one year and go out the other year. Remember, friends, let's keep the peace of the church. Now, it is true, Satan would always try to hinder the work of the gospel. That's true. But let us not be very, very quick to blame him whenever we separate ourselves from the fellowship of the saints. Let us not say, I couldn't go to church because Satan hindered me. The truth is, we might be slothful. Yes. The truth is, we could be plain lazy. And so we don't feel like going to church on the Lord's Day. It is not because Satan stopped you from going to church. It's because you are lazy. That's why you didn't feel like going to church. And then we have no spiritual interest at all. And so what happens is we dissociate ourselves from the prayer meeting. No interest. So we don't go to prayer meeting. Don't blame Satan. Then we are so full of self and so choose to use the Lord's Day for very, very self-centered kinds of activities. So, the real hindrance to your fellowship with the church or with the other members of the church is not Satan. The real hindrance is you yourself, I myself. Now, I'm very impressed by some visitors that come from overseas who come to Sydney for a holiday. You know, these folks would make sure that they will not miss the Sunday worship. And so very dutifully, they will come to the Lord's Day, to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day to worship Him. And very often, I'm very, very glad to receive such phone calls. Somebody will call me, I'm in Sydney. Tell me where your church is located. I want to come to your church on the Lord's Day to worship. I say, thank God, praise the Lord. Yes, thank God for such people. Yes, I'm very encouraged by them. Friends, let me ask you this question. Now, what would you do, all right? Would you travel on the Lord's Day to start your holiday and then miss the worship service and also miss the fellowship with the saints? Would you or would you not do that? Good test, right? I trust, my dear friends, that we will all resolve that we will not travel on the Lord's Day to start a holiday, all right? Come to church to worship the Lord. Give Him first place in your life. Honor Him. And after you have done all that to honor Him and not miss the fellowship with the saints, then you can go on your holiday. But give Him first place in your heart. Now let us see the strong desire of Paul, Silas, and Timothy to see the end of their separation from the Thessalonians. And that's my third point. Yes, the strong desire of Paul, Silas, and Timothy to see the end of the separation from the folks at Thessalonica. Yes, remember they were separated from the folks at Thessalonica. Now let's see their strong desire to have this separation removed. The end of this separation, verse 17 and verse 18. Paul says, "But we brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." So Paul had this very, very powerful, overwhelming desire to go visit the Thessalonians and to see them again. But he was, of course, hindered from going. Now, from the book of Acts, you study the book of Acts, we'll know that Paul actually had one more occasion, at least one more occasion, in which he visited the church at Thessalonica. But that was not in his second missionary journey in which he wrote this letter, but it was in his third missionary journey, which took place several years later. Yes, so Paul in that journey would have been reunited with the folks at Thessalonica. Now, but could he, for how long could he be there? Well, he couldn't spend much time along with them, a lot of time with them, because he had to move on to continue with his missionary work. Now, but let's say that Paul could stay with them. Paul could stay that with them for the rest of his life. Could he stay with them forever? Yes? No. At the very most, will be to the last day of his life. And then he will be called up to call home to be with the Lord. And that separation, of course, would be very painful. Now the question is, will separation between saints ever end? Will they ever end? Separation between saints, will they ever end? The answer is yes. Where will it end? Where? In the presence of the Lord, of course, that separation will end. Yes, and I'm very sure that right now the separation between the Thessalonians and the great apostle Paul, Silas and Timothy would have long ended. Centuries ago this separation would have ended, because Paul, Silas and Timothy would have gone to heaven. The folks that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in the city of Thessalonica would also have gone to heaven. And they would have been reunited. And what a great day of rejoicing that would have been, when they and the folks at Thessalonica were reunited. And as for Paul, it will surely be a day of super great rejoicing, particularly on the day of reckoning, when he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of what he did for the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on this earth. Yes, there will be a day of super great rejoicing for him, particularly if he stood before the Lord along with the Thessalonians, before the Lord. Because he says in verses 19 and 20, you know what Paul says here, verses 19 and 20. He says in chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, Paul says, "For what is our hope," Paul says, "or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy." On that day, when Paul appears before the Lord with the Thessalonians, he is going to receive great and high commendation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he will be looking at the folks from Thessalonica and say, "You are my crown of rejoicing." You know what a great day that will be for the great apostle Paul. Now, the saddest separation for us human beings is the separation between loved ones. True or false? Yes. Very, very sad day when we have to be separated from our loved ones. And how sad if that loved one goes, and then you are not going to see that loved one forever and ever and ever. It will be very, very sad indeed. Which means that separation is going to be permanent, forever and ever. But friends, that separation need not be permanent. If you and your loved ones are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that separation will only be temporary, for a while. And then one day, you will be meeting with your loved ones in heaven. But that will only be the case if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and your loved ones are also believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only when all of you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that you will be able to meet with your loved ones in the presence of the Lord. So, how do you feel, my dear friends, when you are separated from the fellowship of this church? How do you feel? Now, personally, I feel very, very responsible for the spiritual well-being of this church, and therefore I feel that I cannot be away from this church for too long a time. The Lord will surely hold me responsible if the church goes astray because of my negligence. But friends, I will urge you that you build up yourselves in the most holy faith through the knowledge of His Word. So that you will always be steadfast in the most holy faith. So that whether the preacher is around or the preacher is not around, it's not going to make any difference. You are still going to stand strong for the Lord. So I urge you to know God's word and to grow in His word. And how do you feel when you are separated from this church? I hope that you feel the pain of this separation when you are separated from this church because you have to relocate somewhere else because of your studies or because of your work. Yes, I hope that you miss the fellowship here. I hope that you miss the true teaching of the word here. And I hope that you will also miss the opportunities to serve in this church. But friends, I hope that you will not talk just fondly about this church, but that when you are away, separated from this church, you will very, very quickly look for a good Bible-believing church to worship in. And remember, the most painful separation is separation from the one true living God. Yes, how sad it will be if you are separated from the one true living God for all eternity. But that separation can be removed. And it can be removed by your trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It can be removed by your believing in Him and repenting from your sins. And then another very painful separation is separation between loved ones. When one loved one dies, that kind of separation is painful. And that separation is very, very painful indeed if you are not going to see that loved one again for all eternity. But that need not be the case. Friends, if all the loved ones, including yourself, of course, are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, if you have loved ones who are still outside the kingdom of God, be very, very urgent in praying for them. I urge you and I encourage you to make great effort to share the gospel with them so that the separation that you are going to experience someday in regards to them will not be permanent, but it will only be temporary, because you know that you're going to see them again in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came and died for us so that the separation between us and you has been removed. Father, we thank you for this wonderful love that you have for us. And Lord, we pray that all of us here may be very mindful of our loved ones who might be separated from you. And we pray that we may pray for them and that we may very urgently try to find ways and means to give the gospel to them, so that when they leave this earth, or if we have to leave this earth before them, the separation will not be permanent, but it will be something that is temporary. O Lord, we pray that you will guide us in our thinking always, and we pray that we may set our affections on things above and not things on this earth. And help us, O Lord, to live always with eternity's values in view, and that we may treasure the good things that you have given to us, the good fellowship in this church, the teaching of your truth in this church. We pray, O Lord, that you will continue to be with us throughout the day and throughout the week. In Jesus' name, Amen.